AviationPros.com is the portal website for AMT, Airport Business, and Ground Support Worldwide magazines. Visit daily for breaking news, industry blogs, and insightful articles from our magazine's editorial team. And don't forget to sign up for our publication's daily e-newsletters. It's all at AviationPros.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Aviation Pros Podcast. I'm Joe Petrie, Editor-in-Chief for the Airport Business. Daytona International Airport has a lot of opportunities at hand alongside sizable challenges with serving its community. With major commercial operations in Orlando and Jacksonville, it can be challenging to lure traffic to the small Atlantic Coast Airport. But airport leaders are up to the challenge in focusing all of the benefits they provide to travelers in the region and putting their message to the market in order to show how they're a great option outside of the bustle of Orlando. Cyrus Kellum, Director of Aviation Economic Resources for Daytona Beach International Airport, met with Airport Business at the 2024 AAAE Annual Conference in Nashville to talk more about these efforts and how Daytona is embracing the technology as it grows its future.
Well, thank you for taking the time to speak with me today. Coming in, it's been a very busy first day so far of AAAE. Tell me a little bit more about the Daytona International Airport and its role within the region.
All right, so the Daytona Beach International Airport is the largest airport in Volusia County. And, you know, we're really happy and excited about its history and its potential growth. A lot of people don't realize the Daytona International Speedway is actually on airport property, so we have that. And then also a home base for Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University. They are tremendous stakeholders and partners of ours, and they contribute to just huge economic development opportunities for our area. The economic impact of the airport as a whole for our size is amazing for our community. So we appreciate being, or we're fortunate being, you know, such a figment in our community in Volusia County and the greater Daytona Beach area.
I got to imagine that's something nobody else has claimed to fame, having a speedway on their property, that's for sure.
Well, I tell you, it definitely solves a lot of the noise issues. I mean, you know, when they're out there testing, or, you know, the cars are going around a track, or for the special events, where a lot of airports that have communities that are located around and would complain about the aviation noise, the speedway actually takes some of those complaints away from the aviation. Those things are so loud. Like, we can be in my conference room having a meeting, and we have to stop and pause for a second while the cars are going around the track. But it's amazing culture in Daytona Beach, and like that history of everything that NASCAR has been able to do, it's just amazing in terms of bringing people into the community, and then not to mention the natural resources that we have, 47 miles of beach throughout the entire Volusia County, and it's unique because there's portions of the beach that you can drive on, which historically has been something that people can enjoy, but then also you have the family-friendly beaches, and so we're trying to get away from that whole spring break and everybody partying on the beach to a more, you know, family-friendly, holistic environment to have a variety of things to offer to everybody that comes into our community.
And I know as part of this, which in its own way, the airport itself has undergone a little bit of a transformation the last couple of years, as
yes.
Far as a $14 million facelift
right.
of the terminal,
right.
And then also Avelo Airlines coming into existence.
That's exactly
so tell me,
it.
How has this impacted things for Daytona?
Well, so the terminal renovation has been absolutely amazing, and the timing couldn't have been better when that was planned. When there was a dip in traffic because of COVID, that's when we did the bulk of our renovation activities. And so it was kind of like when everybody kind of backed away from the industry to kind of work on their own potential physical health issues, we were, you know, doing a facelift of the terminal. And then once the traffic came back, everyone that traveled before, when they came to travel now, they're like, wow, what an amazing facility. And it's our welcome mat to our community for people that are flying in for whatever purposes they may have, whether it be leisure or for business purposes. And so we wanted to make sure that we put our best foot forward, want to make sure that we put fixtures and different things in the terminal that represented our community. You know, it used to be that old Florida coral and turquoise, and you know, we wanted to modernize things, bring in terrazzo flooring, bring in more beachy color patterns, and a lot more wood, and definitely a lot more wide open glass, you know, to kind of showcase the Florida sunshine. And I think when people come into the terminal, it's just, you know, eye-opening, and you know, that's the impression that we want to have.
Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that's one of those great things where everybody's had that opportunity to get things done because of COVID, but it also created different opportunities for every airport coming into this, you know, now that we're 3-4 years out of everything. Tell me, how has that changed how Daytona is executing the way it's looking at getting its service back and growing it continuously in this post-pandemic world?
Well, sure. I mean, so we have a lot of competition. There's huge leakage situations that take passengers to Orlando, of course. I mean, they're the big kids on the block. And then, of course, Jacksonville as well. We have been fortunate to capitalize on our customer service. And so through the pandemic, the staff has come up with some really ingenuitive ideas on how to engage the customer and to make their traveling experience more comfortable. So we would give care bags if someone forgot their mask behind, or let's say even with the mask requirements being lifted, there's still some comfort that goes into having that option to wear it, and hand sanitizing materials in the bags, and it's different little keepsakes that passengers could take with them just to make their experience a lot more comfortable. As you were talking about in the previous question, you know, with the terminal expansion and with our customer service initiatives, you know, I think that was a great opportunity when Avelo came in, because we opened up another catchment of passengers that we had not had on the airport before. We've always been situated to cater to those legacy airline customers and no low-cost carrier customers. And so we figured that, you know, with that missing niche, we can add more eyes and get more people to experience our customer service through bringing in a low-cost carrier. And we're fortunate that Avelo was our partners in that action.
Tell me about the airport in itself. I mean, there's a lot of competition in Florida, of course.
Yes.
What do you see as the biggest opportunity growth for Daytona?
Well, we have a lot of capacity, and a lot about getting the word out. You know, if you look at the numbers, there's a lot of passengers that fly into Orlando, for instance, but then they're driving over to Daytona Beach and they're spending 4, 5, 6 days at the beach. And it's more of an education thing, where if we were to get out to these cities that a lot of these people are coming from, let's say for Chicago, for instance, we have a large catchment of passengers that are coming from the Chicago area. Automatically, when someone's looking for a flight and see, okay, Daytona Beach, well, Orlando's closer, and maybe that ticket's probably $100 cheaper, so we'll just fly there. But they don't realize, you know, even though it's $100 cheaper, the transportation from getting from Orlando to Daytona Beach, it would make up for that difference. It's an intangible cost that a lot of people don't consider. And so we're trying to do a better job in getting the word out to people in those communities. We're working very close with our Convention and Visitors Bureau and our Chambers of Commerce, and just kind of using some of their advertising resources to let people know that Daytona Beach is here. We got a very big advertising campaign going on in New York City right now. And I was just recently in New York the end of March, and, you know, in Times Square, a big billboard or a big electronic billboard just advertising Daytona Beach and just showing people that, yeah, you want to come to Florida, but maybe your vacation is not centered on the attractions in Orlando. You just want to get away and come to the beach. Fly directly to us, because we do have the capacity and we do have the ability to support that. And the more people that use it, hopefully we'll be able to bring down the fares. Transversely, when we're talking about people that live in Volusia County, we have to do a better job in letting them know that the more they use our airport, the more the airlines are going to put capacity into our facility. And, you know, the same thing, you know, people have to plan an entire half day to fly out to or drive out to Orlando and then fly out, because you have to consider traffic, you have to consider parking, and, you know, they're a busy airport, so they're going to have security lines and other challenges that are related to that. At Daytona Beach, the max wait time that we ever have is 10 minutes. And so a lot of people that you talk to in the community, they are literally coming from their doorstep and sitting at the gate within a half hour. And so you're not planning that half day for your travel. You're planning a half hour. Maybe you got to connect through Charlotte. Maybe you got to connect through Atlanta. But you don't have those same stressors that you normally have when there's some things that you can't control on your way to Orlando.
Mm-hmm. And that's interesting, too, that you guys have, you know, a very good opportunity to have a smaller terminal, but it's also growing as far as traffic.
Right.
And you have the opportunity to use some of these new technologies that are coming online. Tell me, how does that look for Daytona going forward? What is it you guys are looking at more into implementing or using now, and where you want to go as far as some of the new next generation technologies?
Well, the technology is definitely aiding our customer service initiatives. So in terms of marketing to the airline, you know, everything that we've had that was a part of our terminal renovation program is common use equipment. Airlines can do plug and play when they bring in their systems. Our TSA security checkpoint, we have all of the latest technology that the TSA has implemented in a lot of their large hub category X facilities. And so, yes, we have two lanes, but because of that technology, that's aiding, you know, their checkpoint times. And then, of course, we're a TSA pre-check airport as well. So, you know, where it's taking the average passenger probably 5 to 10 minutes to get through. If you're TSA pre-check, I mean, it's just not even taking you a minute to 2 minutes to get through. So, you know, there's tons of things that we've been able to take advantage of. We're in the process of implementing a new access control. We're doing a full security system update and modification, and you know that's going to have a variety of different functions, everything from biometric facial recognition to physical security information management and ID management and credential solutions. So even for the employees that have to, you know, interact and they're looking for efficiency and function operating at the airport, you know, we're even bringing in those components. So, you know, we're, you know, a 21st century facility, and we have all those amenities that a lot of the larger airports have, which helps our experience, the customer service experience on all sides, just function a lot better.
What drove that, making that investment? What was the rationale behind it that decided now we need to do it?
Well, so our access control system was hitting its useful life period. And, you know, we really wanted to go out and make sure that, you know, we can keep our passengers feeling as safe as possible, because of course that's essential to customer service as well. So we were shopping systems, and it was the opportunity that presented itself with the bipartisan infrastructure law, provided us the funds to put that money towards providing the safest facility that we could. And so we updated our airport operations center. So, you know, state of the art there with screens and all the technology that you need to help with that function. But, you know, we really wanted to make the best use. So planning forward, you know, as we start to market airlines and as we start to think about terminal expansion, once we get those airlines in, we wanted to make sure that safety and security took the front and center to complement our customer service efforts.
You got the low wait times, which is great. You got a lot of technology in line that's even better. This sounds like a perfect place for me. This sounds like my kind of airport.
Oh,
I'd fly out every time I could.
Come on down.
The question I have for you is, what are the big challenges you guys are trying to tackle right now that you do see in the airport for the customer experience?
Well, so, you know, that's the thing. you can't be all things to everyone. You know, the customer complaint that I hear most, of course, is things that are beyond our control within, as it relates to the airfares, right? And so, you know, the only way that you can address that is to encourage more competition. Now, competition is going to bring down prices. But in order to get that competition going, you still have to coerce people into making that investment. And you know, one of the biggest challenges, you know, if I'm thinking about strategically, on the same front is making an investment into the airport as a whole. In terms to bring down airfares as well, you got to look at non-aeronautical opportunities to bring down the cost of the airport in general, so I can get the cost per plane passengers down to once again encourage airlines to fly in, because naturally they want to fly and have the least amount of costs possible operating out of especially a small facility. So, you know, there's a variety of things, a chicken or the egg kind of theory. I'm looking at making investments into getting a large portion of acreage around the airport shovel ready, so we can recruit for maintenance, repair, and overhaul facilities, hangar development, different things that are going to bring down the cost for the operation of the terminal. So then once airlines come in, they don't have those costs that they have to consider in order to be profitable and to stay in our market. Because you see it when the airlines start having some revenue issues in certain communities, they're really quick to pull the plug. And the ultimate loser at the end of that is the customer, because once again, you lose those options and those fares go up with all the other carriers that remain in the market.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned before that you were recipients of bipartisan infrastructure law funding. Yeah. And this has been interesting this time, having this additional funding. Obviously, we hear about a lot of the big projects that happen at the mega hubs and everything like that. I'm curious, for a place like Daytona and, you know, the specific challenges you have, how has it transformed the goals you guys are looking to accomplish?
Well, you know, there were some opportunities that have come through Bill that we wouldn't have considered initially. Of course, we were going to fund that security system upgrade with internal airport revenues. Well, now we're able to reimburse what we were planning on doing with Bill. But then when I was mentioning before the potential opportunity for terminal expansion, you know, if my plans go the way that I'm hoping, as optimistic as I try to be, we're going to need some additional gate space, and we're going to need the development of a federal inspection station facility with CBP. So Bill is going to hopefully, if we're successful in competing for the ATP portion of that, that could help us in terms of where we need to be in the future as we start to address potential demand. And so, yes, the bigger airports, you know, they get the money up front, and we understand that. We're just hoping, you know, for us, probably $8 or $9 million goes a lot further for us than it does for the bigger airports. So, you know, we're looking forward to being competitive for that, so we can address our expansion opportunities and address some of the challenges that we have while we're going out and trying to negotiate with airlines coming in.
So as a manager in a smaller airport, do you feel that that's just been as beneficial to you as it has to the bigger guys?
Yes, absolutely. And I tell you, you know, the management of a smaller airport, because I was in Orlando for 14 years in a variety of capacities to work for the Greater Orlando Aviation Authority. And, you know, there's so many resources to help you with your mission. At the smaller airports, we're wearing all the hats. So my leadership team, you know, we're jumping into trenches and we're getting knee-deep in all of the necessary activities that normally you'd have additional staff take care of. And so where there's opportunities to get additional funding to help kind of carry on your vision so we can remain competitive and provide additional options for our citizens, yeah, we're all about that. So very excited about that opportunity and other potential grant funding opportunities that are out there. I mentioned before, I oversee economic resources, and within that component of the department that I oversee is the Economic Development Division. And so the staff there, they're charged with looking at tons of grant opportunities. As a matter of fact, we are in the middle of a project where we were fortunate to receive a $4 million grant, and we had to provide a $1 million matching fund to an Economic Development Administration grant to bring up infrastructure on a relatively large parcel, 55 acres, to make shovel ready for aeronautical development. And so, you know, it just helps with the effort of trying to make the airport continue to be self-sufficient, but also bring down our costs so we can be more competitive with driving airlines. So, like, having economic development have the ability to go out and get some of these additional resources that a lot of airports that may be run by, you know, local government probably don't think of is a huge resource for us.
Now we're at a place like the AAAE conference right now because it's a great opportunity for everybody to share best practices of what we do and, you know, give everyone ideas of things we could, you know, bring back to our own facilities and help improve.
Right.
Is there any particular airports out there or things you've seen out there that you see and say, hey, this is something I think Daytona needs to be looking at doing?
Oh, yeah. So my good friend Greg Phillips out in Colorado Springs, I can't say enough things about everything that he's doing. I grew up in the Denver area, and one of the things growing up in looking at where Daytona Beach is like where, you know, Colorado Springs was, you know, probably 20 plus years ago, where they were dealing with that leakage issue and everyone would drive from Colorado Springs to Denver. And, you know, we're kind of dealing with that. And I see what Greg's been able to do with his aggressive air service marketing campaign. And they were able to get, you know, Avelo, and they got Southwest, and they got a variety of Frontier, and they got a variety of opportunities that, if it wasn't for his strategic vision, you know, they would be struggling to push along. But, you know, that vision has definitely made them a prominent player, not only in Colorado, but, you know, in you know, the Rocky Mountain region as a facility where you can still not have to go through the stress and strain of going through a large airport. You can kind of enjoy a seamless customer service experience going through your airport, but then you have options to get to most places around the country that you want for a reasonable cost. And so I watch what he does, and I pick up a lot of information and a lot of publications that you know, you see, and you track people on social media. There's a variety that you track on social media, and you kind of take some of those nuggets and you put them in your tool belt and you see if they work at your facility. So, you know, yeah, definitely Greg, if you're listening or if you hear this, appreciate everything you're doing.
Perfect. And then tell me about, where do you see Daytona Airport going in the next 5 to 10 years?
Lots of things. I have a lot of forks in the fire. And fortunately, with our relationship that we have with not only the Daytona International Speedway, but Embry-Riddle, they are growing leaps and bounds. You know, they are definitely answering the call as it pertains to the pilot shortage. They are also answering the call with addressing the shortage in maintenance technicians and AMPs. And so we want to help them with that. And with a lot of this space that we're getting shovel ready, we want to provide resources for them to have graduates walk across the stage and into their profession, and keeping those graduates in the greater Daytona Beach area. And so we're walking hand in hand with that. I have approximately 70 acres that are adjacent to Embry-Riddle's location that we're getting shovel ready right now. And I have another, as I mentioned before, 55 acres that we plan on bringing in some aeronautical development opportunities there, where some people can actually work in an aeronautical function and stay on the airport. In addition to that, I have another maybe 250 acres that can be developed for non-aeronautical support immediately adjacent to us. NASCAR just put in a 1.2 million square foot Amazon facility, and so that could be a catalyst for potentially bringing in air cargo. We're at the intersection of I-95 and I-4, which is huge, and to connect that whole Central Florida I-4 corridor, we like to say we're at the beginning of I-4. And so if we're able to bring in some some good logistics opportunities, potentially bringing some rail. There's no telling what the community is going to look like in the next 5 to 10 years if I have my way.
Wonderful. And now that brings me to my last set of questions I have for you, because these are one of my favorite parts to let everybody get a chance to really get us to know why and how people are leading their airports. So that being said, these are always the hardest for everybody, but you're on the spot.
I'll,
and I'm feeling
I'll give it my best
you.
Shot.
All right. Yeah. My first question is you. What makes the team at Daytona Airport the best in the industry?
Oh, my God. I can't say enough about my team. Actually, a good handful of them are here. You know, we all kind of came up the same way. We all kind of had that same vision. Our airport director, Karen Feaster, she's been with the airport over 30 years. I tell everybody she was born there. You look at her, you can't tell that, you know, she's even the age that she is. But, you know, we all have our skill sets, you know, and it's just like a team. You know, her ability to manage the day-to-day operations is unparalleled to anybody that I've ever worked with. And then with that, our director of operations, Dan Blake, phenomenal when it comes down to everything that the FAA expects during certification. He also manages our security program and handles our contract with our law enforcement and our fire department. And just, you know, easygoing and just so cooperative. And we have another gentleman, Mihai Smigalski, who's amazing with numbers, amazing with, you know, figuring out how to get the airport revenues where they need to be. I can't say enough about Joanne Magley. If you follow our social media posts, you know, those ideas, like our Christmas cards, you know, the different little things that we offer to the customers, you know, throughout the year, all of those things come from that mind. I mean, her ability to just think about how to reach people is amazing. And then you know, we're looking for an airport CFO. So hopefully one of the things that we're able to do while we're out here is find that. But then Eric Troy, he manages our projects and helps us go after some of these grants that we were mentioning before. And he was very essential to us getting what we were able to get so far with Bill, and hopefully he'll help us out with reaching out and getting some more money as these projects become available. So yeah, the team, all of us have our skill sets. Me with my strategic vision, I'm a dreamer, I'm a visionary. They're able to validate and do research on things that I dream up, and then we all sit together, we put them on paper, and we see what's feasible, and we see what we can go after. And then some of those unrealistic things we just put on the back burner, even though I still want to go after them. But you know, all of our different skill sets make us a complete team, and I would say that's one of the things that make us the most constructive team in the industry.
Why should us as an industry be bullish on the future of Daytona Airport?
Oh, because you've just seen the beginning. You've just seen the beginning. You know, the airport's been around for a while, but I want to say that we're in a little bit of a renaissance where the decisions that we make now are going to shape how the airport's going to look in the next 10 to 15, 20 years. So with NASCAR doing what they're doing, with Embry-Riddle doing what they're doing, and with some announcements that we have coming probably within the next 2 months, you're going to see a lot of Daytona Beach in the news. And so that's why you should be bullish, because you should be curious about all of these different things that are coming.
And my last question for you today, looking at all that and this vision and the great things to come, what does success look like to you?
Oh, there was another podcast that asked me that same question, and it was different than my answer was different than what I'm going to say today. And really what success looks like to me for our facility is us having our community be proud and continue to use our airport in a manner to which they have, but then to add to, you know, that commitment to supporting our facility. And like I said, as we grow in response to, you know, the community using the facility, that shows some success on our part.
Well, thank you for this conversation today. It's really exciting to hear about the future of Daytona, and I can't wait to hear about more of the good things to come.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Thanks again for listening to today's podcast. To hear from the most important leaders in aviation, make sure to subscribe to the Aviation Pros podcast along with the Airport Business Daily Newsletter and Magazine. Airport Business, it's where leaders live. I'm Joe Petrie. We'll see you next time.